Blog Talk Radio.
Amen, amen, amen. Good evening and welcome. We are New Beginnings Ministry, and we're here every Wednesday at 7 p.m., and we thank you for taking the time to be a part of this hour. As we move forward, we are in Indiana this evening with Pastor David Reese, who has a word for you. Telephone, tell a friend that Pastor Reese is on the line. Reese is on the line, and he has a word Amen, for you and those who are listening. For those of you who are coming on, we are on Zoom at this moment. The Zoom number is 505-563-6808. That's 505-563-6808. And the password for that will be Psalm 23. We're also recording on Blog Talk Radio as well. If you would like to call in and participate on Blog Talk
Radio.
Recording
in progress.
If you'd like to call in and participate on Blog Talk Radio, you can participate as well. The call number is 347-237-4054. That's 347-237-4054. You can also go into the archives and go into New Beginnings. We can begin again. You can listen to this message. Amen. Those who are on Zoom, you can call in as well. If you do not want to be seen, you can call in. The call-in number is 309-205-3325. And I believe when you call in, you would call in the Zoom, go into the Zoom, and then you would, for the password, you would put the 309-205-3325, and that would be the passcode for the call-in only. Amen? So you have a number of different accesses to be able to hear this message this evening. As we move forward, we do thank you for being a part of the hour. We also like to say Happy New Year, and we pray that God has blessed you for crossing over into another year, having an opportunity to be able to have life. Amen. And God said we have life and life more abundantly. That's good news. Amen. That's good news. We should be rejoicing over that. There are those who did not cross over. Amen. So you have had the opportunity to cross over and see another year. So we do not take that for granted. One of the things we get on for this these messages are to be encouragers. Amen. We go through life's trials and tribulations, and the word which is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path, it is an encouragement to you and to I. And there are those out there who are in nursing homes. There are those who are suffering in so many different ways. Amen. And we come forth in the name of Jesus to be an encourager for those that stand in the need of the prayer. I don't know about you, but I stand in the need of prayer as well. So I'm going to put my name, you know, on that list as well. Every day I stand in the need of prayer. Amen. We're going to move out of the way, and the next voice that you're going to hear from out of Indiana is none other than Pastor David Reese. Amen, amen, amen. Pastor Reese. You're muted.
I just seen that. You muted me. Let me begin with prayer. Father, we thank you for this time that we have to share your word. Now, God, we ask that you would anoint us afresh. Move me out of the way, God, that your people may see you, that your people may hear you. None of my thought or my theory, God, but what comes from you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
All right, if we have our Bibles this evening, I just want to go to one passage of Scripture. I may bounce around a little bit later, but I want to deal with one main topic scripture, that is Psalm 119 and verse 11. Psalm 119 and verse 11. I'm going to read it from a few different versions, but I want to start with the King James Version, and it reads this way. Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. For thought tonight, I'm using a word that keeps me. Now, the Message Bible, it reads this way. I have banked your promises in the vault of my heart, so I won't send myself bankrupt. Let that sit for just a moment. To be bankrupt means to be completely exhausted of resources. There's nothing left. But it also gives us a clean slate when we're in debt. Our sin creates the debt. But God's redemptive power gives us the ability to bounce back from the debt. The NET version of the Bible reads it this way. In my heart, I shore up your word so I might not sin against you. I shore up your word, which means I began to put them in a place where I don't lose them. I like how the Message Bible calls it a vault, the vault of the heart. It's a place where I can store things that are precious. So the word that God gives to us to bring us out of the situations and circumstances, the things that we held on to during COVID when we were shut down from everybody else in the world, and we had to do church like this. We had to not just attend Bible study, but we even had to attend service in this manner where we couldn't be close to one another. We had to be separated. We had to eventually, when we did come back together, we had to be 6 feet apart. And the church is supposed to be a close-knit family. But a thing came to separate us, but it separated us so that we could get our relationship with God in the right place. Because for real, some of us got so used to the tablet, to the phone, to the Facebook, to all of these other things instead of getting in the face of God. Now God said, I had to lock you in so all you could do was talk to me. If I had not locked you in, would your relationship with me be as strong as it is right now? Because if we be honest, a lot of us got lazy during the pandemic. We didn't read our Bible as much. We didn't pray as much. What else do I have to do? My day is running together. By the time I look around, it's Friday, and I'm thinking it's Tuesday. It seemed like the days began to melt together. But in the midst of all of that, God kept us. I can attest to the fact that during the entire pandemic, my wife and I have never tested positive for COVID.
It's not.
That's a testimony that a lot of people do not have. We survived being inside, being in a place that we, you know, we just come in to go sleep. Because at home, that's where we sleep, that's where we rest, that's where we rejuvenate, and we prepare for the next day. But now that we are back to what we call normal, now that we are back to dealing with the issues of life from day to day, going to work, dealing with people, all of these bill collectors and all of these other kinds of things, now that we have to start dealing with that again, God asks the question, where is the time for me? There are so many big controversies, or we like to make them big, controversies that are going on in the body of Christ. And the enemy is even using that to keep so messed up in focusing on other people that we're still in our relationship with God. Want to say whether or not someone is saved because of what they choose to do. At the end of the day, it is that person and God who has to deal with whatever choices they have made. And that's the reality of the matter. But the word that keeps us is the word that God has put over our lives, that he promised to never leave us nor forsake us. That he'll come see about us when trouble is rising, when things seem like they're unbearable and life is not just swimming along, but it begins to drown us, when we are overwhelmed by life and its pressures, and God comes in and he says, I will raise up a standard. I'll give you some breathing room. But once I do that, what are you going to do for me? What are you willing to do for God that you have not done in a long time? Well, God, if you get me out of this, I'll pray more often. But you pray once a day. God, if you get me out of this, I promise I'll study your word more. But you fall asleep while you read your Bible. Don't get me wrong, because that's an attack of the enemy. When we are in the midst of studying the word of God, which gives us life, here comes the enemy with that sleepy spell in the middle of the day. Got all the energy we could possibly have all day long, but as soon as we open up the Bible and begin to study, all of a sudden the sleepy spirit comes on. Because the enemy realizes that if I hide it from you, and I don't allow you to access the power that is in the Word of God, then you have no resistance against me. Because the Bible declares that if we resist him, he'll flee. But how would I know to resist him if I don't study his Word?
Amen.
Mm-hmm. I know the Bible says that faith cometh by hearing. Hearing. We stop at that part of the scripture. There's some more to that. How can they hear without a preacher? How can he preach except he be sent? We stop at the hearing part. We say, I don't have to go into the house of God to have church. I can have church at home. I can get a word at home. But here is the thing. With all of the words that we are digesting, how many of those words have made us sick? Or did we realize made us sick? Because the vessel that it came from wasn't coming out of the vein of God. You can preach a good message, but are you preaching about Jesus? Because at the end of the day, it's about him crucified and how he rose again that we might have life, have relationship with God, because we were messed up. And every person that is on this Zoom or on the blog has done something in their life they're not proud of. If you can't think of one right now, I'll give you a second. That one thing that you told nobody about that you've done in your life that you hold in that treasure chest, that I'm not going to let nobody know about this. I know that's not good English. I know it's not. But I'm not going to let anybody know about this thing that I did right here, because if I let them know about this thing that I did right here, then they're going to turn on me. Then they won't receive me anymore. So I can't tell them about the place that I messed up in. But here is the thing about the place that we messed up in, is that might be the thing that frees somebody from the prison that they are in. Mm-hmm. We overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. So when do we as the church begin to tell the real testimony? This message that I'm preaching tonight, a word that keeps me, has to do with our testimony. And I was asking God, what do you mean by this word? God, what are you saying to me? Because I wrestled with it for a while. And he said, we pay so much attention to what we hear from him. We don't even pay attention to what we hear out of our own mouths. Because it's not what goes into a man that defiles him, but that which comes out. That's our testimony. So is the testimony that we are giving keeping us, or is it hurting us? Because is it the real testimony, or is it your church testimony?
Well,
your church testimony is first given out to God, to the pastors, saints, members, and friends. I have been kept by Jesus all day long. I didn't sin at all. Okay, but on the other side of that, in your mind, you were looking at a person that didn't belong to you, and you said, I want that. But we're not going to talk about that part, because that's the part I can hide. That's the part that I can put in my vault. That's the part that nobody has to know about, because that's my secret thing. Here is the thing about God. God is not God is not playing with secret keys. Because God has the key that unlocks everything.
So that's good.
So when we get exposed, been there, when we get exposed, now we want to be heartbroken. But we had the opportunity to tell the real testimony. And we didn't. But we've been exposed now to the stuff that we were talking about that we were still dribbling and dabbling into. And so God says, okay, now I let you do you. Now it's time for me to do you.
Mm-hmm.
Let me go back to the Message Bible. This verse says, I've banked your promises in the vault of my heart, so I won't send myself bankrupt. So I won't put myself can't do anything. Because when I have allowed myself to cheat me, that's worse than anyone else could ever do to me. When I cheat myself, I have put myself in a prison. And I'm also a jailer. Isn't that crazy? I put myself in a prison with a door that's open. But I won't walk out because I won't repent. To say, God, I messed up. I did something I should not have done. You know what I've done, God. I put myself in a position where I should have been a witness for you through my mess. But because I couldn't allow my mess to become a message, I found myself wallowing in the mess, and now I'm drowning in the mess that was meant to be a message, and I can't seem to find my way back to the way to make it a message again. So now I'm just sitting in a dump, a mess. And all of these things are supposed to be messages that I'm able to use to reach other people. And the thing about this dump is, it's not the nasty, gross stuff. It's the little thing. So the Bible says it's the little thing. Is that right? The little thing is that fall or destroy the vine, depending on the version that you read. It's the little thing we don't, you know. My tires were really $20, and I put in $15. Because I need this $5 for gas. Now, God knows what I need. God knows that. Oh, here we go. God knows my heart. But had you trusted him with the whole amount, how much more could he do for you? Questions, any comments? Anybody?
Mr. Edmund, Long Island. I came in late, but when I did come in, sir, that's the brother, man. This is good stuff right here. Not only are you exposing, and we all have skeletons, can't open our mouth too wide, a bone will come out. But we thank God that the word is truth. The word is life.
Yes.
And you're bringing it, sir. You're bringing it. I have to leave. I wish I didn't have to. I have to go to my church. But, sir, if this is recorded, I'm coming back.
Amen.
God bless you.
It is recorded.
Amen. So, now, we talked about a word that keeps you. But it does more than that. It's a word because God gives us different words for different situations. So he not only gives us a word that keeps us, but he gives us a word that heals us. He is Jehovah Rapha, the Lord our healer.
Amen.
He heals, and the thing about God is he is not one-dimensional. We look to God as being one-dimensional. When we think of healing, we think of our bodies being sick. But some of us have been mentally healed. God, help me say this the way you showed it to me. Some of us have been mentally ill, and there wasn't a pill that could do it. It wasn't a psychiatrist that could do it. There was nobody we could talk to but him that helped us to heal from the place that had us in prison. Something that all preachers struggle with, if we tell the truth, is depression. Because we start to wonder when we see someone else preaching song like that to me. That's a form of depression. Why didn't the people scream and holler? Why didn't they receive me the way they received so-and-so? Sometimes, and I have to learn this, this is why I'm able to talk about it, sometimes people don't always respond in the same way to every word. The word that made them shout last week won't be the same word that they received this coming Sunday, because this coming Sunday has to be a word that reaches for this situation, this problem, this issue, this circumstance that they are dealing with currently. And sometimes we just catch people, and the word that we give is a word that's a seed. It goes in, and someone else comes, and they water it. Here's the thing. God still gives the increase. God still gives the increase. If we were to sit and interview pastors that have been pastoring for at least 5 years or more, they could probably tell you that they have almost preached everything they know to preach until God gives them something fresh. In the first 5 years, 5 years, you are digging into the word so much and trying to get so much revelation to bring to the people so that they begin to become stabilized. And sometimes you become what we call overwhelmed. And now, sometimes we hunt and we peck for a word. But God always has fresh revelation if we lean into him. The exhaustive nature of trying to continuously preach a fresh word without going to the source of the fresh word will put us in a place where we are at a bankrupt state. We're at a deficit. We become empty. And so we're preaching out of our emptiness versus being full of the Spirit. I'm not talking about fasting and praying and being empty from fasting. I'm talking about when the substance isn't there and we're just preaching what seems catchy. Because a lot of pastors are at that point. Because because they're preaching messages, but where's Jesus? Where's the mention of Jesus? And these are pastors with mega churches, and they're preaching motivational messages, but where's Jesus? So the people are motivated, but there's no substance. That is like filling your car up halfway and trying to drive 500 miles. There's not enough in there to make the full distance. But how do we get to the place where it becomes fresh? We got to go back to the well where we got it from the first time. It's a word that keeps me, a word that keeps me fresh, a word that keeps me relevant, a word that keeps me strengthened, a word that keeps me from causing myself to self-destruct. But I have to go to the one that gives me the word in order for me to receive the word and to hide it in my heart, in the vault of my heart, so that I don't sin against him. Not against myself, so I don't sin against him, so that when I'm at a place of depletion, he can fill me back up. So I can go back to him. God, I need you to give me something fresh. Because I need to have a fresh word. And some words that we receive are not for the people. Some words we receive are just for us. Because we don't study to preach, or we should, but we study to live. And when it's time for that word that you studied way back when it's time for that word to come up for some soul that comes into the house that needs to hear that word, or on the Zoom or the blog that needs to hear that word, God will allow it to begin to stir back up in your spirit. He'll take you right back to that word to let you know that this is the time to release it, because now it has marinated and it has been ingrained in your spirit. We should not be at a place where we're preaching a word we haven't lived anyway. What good will it do me to try to preach a word I haven't lived? Because I don't have any substance for that. So now the word is just empty. And whoop and holler and scream and squall and all of that. But at the end of the day, what soul was saying? Because when you get through and your vocal cords are sore and you need some hot tea with lemon, what soul was saved by the word that you got through squalling? Now, don't get me wrong, I enjoy that myself. But what soul was saved by the word? Because that is really the goal, is that souls are saved and hell-bound destinies are altered through the word of God. Faith cometh by hearing. Hearing what? The word of God. How can they hear without a preacher? And how can he preach it? What did he say? So my other question to us in the body of Christ, to preachers especially, is, do you know where you've been sent? Every pulpit is not a pulpit to preach in. I learned that. Because the attack of the enemy is real. And if you are in the wrong place, uncovered, it can almost take you out. We hear it so many times in movies, and I don't think we really pay attention to it. This phrase, never underestimate your opponent. realize is that sometimes our opponent isn't on the outside. Sometimes we're wrestling with ourselves. Now, I know the Bible says we wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities and spiritual wickedness and high places, and that's true. It's a high place right here. The mind is a high place. So that thing that bothers at night when you can't sleep, that you're wrestling with yourself. What has God said that you're wrestling with about doing? I've been noticing that a lot of pastors recently have started changing the names of their ministry. That's what the Lord is leading you to do. But is there a purpose in changing the name, or are you looking for something catchy? Because I'll be 40 next month. So a lot of preachers in my age range are looking for something catchy that'll draw the people in. But if you draw them in and there's no power, they won't be kept.
That's right.
So now they're drawn into a place where they're dying. Any questions, any comments?
I just want to say that you say that, you know, it's a catchy phrase, and sometimes we, you know, yeah, you do hear that. It becomes seeker-friendly churches, you know, where you just want to get bodies in. But I find that the Word of God has to be taught and exemplified through the leader as well. And sometimes, I say most of the time, we probably come and we expect the pastor or whoever to give us everything we need, but we need to spend time in the Word of God ourselves, not just be spoon-fed by him. And that way, I always say, you only know a counterfeit when you know the real. So if we know the real, know who God really is, his character, his nature, then we have enough, more than enough, to be successful in this life that we live, because he's going to give us direction. He gives us himself and his Holy Spirit that dwells in us to teach us and to lead and guide us. So the key is knowing the Word of God yourself, getting it into you, and hearing yourself speak it, because faith does come by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. But I believe what I hear probably over everything that you say. I might hear you say it, but it doesn't seem to be Rhema word until I hear myself speak it. Then I know that the Word of God is perfecting the change in my life when I start to speak it out. But I have enjoyed your message. Thus far, I have enjoyed the discussion, and just thank you. Thank you for
it. Okay. Yeah.
Anyone else? One of the things we were talking about. You know, God knows our secret.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's us to try to pretend that he's not paying attention, or if we get super holy that he'll forget, but he does not forget. And one of the things that they have is you're only as sick as your speaker. So keep it secret and withhold it. We're only hurting ourselves. They can't get back to be your best, be who God wants you to be.
if you're not being your authentic self and being honest.
Mm-hmm.
I like what you say about that you go through the word that helps before you're able to minister. But that was very meaningful for me. But everything has to. But that just really that was one of the notes.
I want to go to one other scripture, Acts chapter number 1 and the verse 7 and 8. Acts chapter 1, verse 7 and 8.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
These scriptures, you know, are used in services to make the people jump and to make the people shout, but I really want us to hear what it says. And so, Acts chapter 1, verse 7, it says, "And he said unto them, It is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power."
Mm-hmm.
Verse 8 says, "He shall receive after that the Holy Ghost is come upon
you.
But the witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth." We go to that first part and we shout. But we have to read the whole scripture. Just like we go to John, the 10th chapter and the 10th verse. It Paul says, "But the thief cometh not, but for to kill, to steal, and to destroy." The B clause says, "But I am come, that they might have life and have it more abundantly." So we shout off of the it, and we shout off of receiving the power. What we have to remember is that one thing has to happen first before we receive the power, and that is that the Holy Ghost come upon us. There has to be a power. Help me today. That has to come from on high. That began to strengthen you for weeks, and then you're feeling like giving up and throwing in the towel and saying, "I quit," because it looks like the numbers are dwindling. It looks like life is not happening the way I expected it to happen. But power comes from God. Thing really got to me. It is not for you to know the time or the season. You don't know when your abundant season is coming. But the thing that we should know is that it's coming.
Amen.
Because God is not a man that he should lie, nor is he the son of man that he should lie. That's what the Bible says.
Right.
Verse 7, it says, "And he said unto them, It is not for you to know the time or the season which the Father hath put in his own power." That means he's got a set time for when this power will be released. It says in verse 8, "But ye shall receive power after." So there's got to be something that takes place first. There's got to be a realization that begins to happen that I can't do this in my own power. So after I understand that I can't do it in my own power, the Holy Ghost will come upon me. And not only will it give me power, but it'll make me a witness of his power. And it's a witness. You don't always have to say a word to be a witness.
Amen.
The way things begin to happen in your life will begin to be a witness to other people that God has placed his power on you. It is not for you to know the times or the seasons. This is the word that will keep me. It's not for me to know the time of the season, but it's to know that there's a season coming that belongs to me. For God will put his power on me, and he will make me a witness to other people, that they will see that through the trash and the trauma and the triflingness and all of the drama and the issue and the problem, that God is still good. If he can use somebody like me that's been messed up, torn up, torn to pieces, rebuilt, put back together, then he can do it for anybody else.
Yes.
Because there is no goodness of my own. My righteousness, the Bible says, is that filthy rag. But he's so good.
Yes, sir.
That he will take us, God, he will take us into his own care and not put us in the dishwasher, but he will wash us. He will wash us by hand and begin to wash away the things that have had us dirty for so long. He will wash out every ache and every pain, every heartache, every broken promise, everything that the enemy tries to use to keep us in a broken state, he will wash it away.
Yes.
Amen.
And give us power.
Amen.
But he doesn't just come to keep us, he comes to heal us.
Amen.
When he comes to heal us, while he's healing us, he has to deliver us from the state that we've been in. God help me tonight. He has to deliver us so that we can be a witness. He delivered me from that mess that I was in. He delivered me from a broken state. He delivered me from depression, overwhelming me to the point where suicidal thoughts were all that I thought about. Maybe that's not somebody else's testimony, but because I can remember when all I had was suicidal thoughts. I lost two brothers, and I thought that I was next on the hit list. So I said I'd rather take myself than allow the enemy to take me. But for every time I tried, God blocked. When I realized that I can't do it in my own power, his power comes. And it reminds me that he is still in control.
Amen.
Because he's a keeper. But he sends a word that will heal us and deliver us. And here's the good part. Pastor Miles, you'll enjoy this part. Not only does he come to deliver us, but he comes to restore us. Everything that the copper worm, canker worm, and the locust have eaten up, he will return. Go back. Look in the book of Job. Job went through all these trials and all these tribulations. But when he got to his time, when he got to his time of abundance, God not only gave him back stuff, but he gave him more than he had the first time. And I want to preach a message we already heard, but I want us to understand that when God gives it back to us, he gives it back better.
Amen.
The abundance, overflow.
So he'll restore. I'm getting out of here. I'm getting out of here because I'm boring y'all.
Take your time.
So he will keep us. He will heal us. He will deliver us. Oh, yes, God. He will restore us. Yes, God. And he will refresh us. I got one more, but I'll park right here. He will refresh us when we are at the end of our rope, when we have reached the point of exhaustion. The power of God will come upon us to refresh us, re-strengthen us, and revive us to get back up and keep pushing. For 13 years, God has kept our minds from ever being destroyed by the attack that came against us, my wife and I. Every attack that came against us, God allowed us to withstand it. Did it hurt? Yes. But we came through on the other side.
Mm-hmm.
Not because of So what does he do? After he restores us and he refreshes us, here it is, he puts us back on our feet. I'm done.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Dr. Suzanne, would you please pray over the service?
Sure. Father God, we thank you. We thank you and praise you, Lord, for the word that has gone forth this evening, Father God. We thank you, Father, that it has fallen on fertile soil, Father God, that all those that are listening in real time, Father God, and those that are listening in the archives to the recording, Father God, that they would be blessed by the listening, by what they hear, Father God. We thank you, Lord, in the name of Jesus. We thank you, Holy Spirit, for guiding this teaching, for guiding this time that we've been together. We thank you, Lord, for the heart of the research, Father God, that is blessed by the teaching from home, Father God, that he is restored, and he is responding, and he is refreshed, and he is depleted himself or given himself to the beginning of ministry. This evening, God, this blessing. Bless their coming and going. Bless their rising and lying down. Bless their homes, God, from the roof to the foundation. Let them be surrounded, Father God, by things of you, Father God, by your spirit, Father God, protected by your ministering and warring angels, Father God, that anything that is not of you, Father God, any attempt, attack, enemy is broken right now in the name of Jesus. And we please bless him in the name of Jesus for this family. We thank you, Father God. We thank you, Lord, that there's answers, there's restoration for the family. In Jesus' name, we praise you and we thank you. I thank you, Father God, that Pastor Reese, Father God, that has come to the end of this message to us this evening through the Holy Spirit. That he, Father God, is rejuvenated, that he rests well this evening, Father God, and that he be prepared, Father God, to do it again.
Yeah.
Thank you for their ministry. We thank you, Lord, for the word. We thank you, Lord, for in the name of Jesus. Thank you. Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Pastor Reese, if you would like to extend an invitation to Christ. And then the next voice will be here, or the few comments will be here from those of us, if you would like to come in. Patient to Christ.
Maybe there's someone here who is listening via the blog. And you don't know about him or have a relationship with him. Here's the good thing about that. You can be sitting right here. Or maybe you have a relationship with God, but you found yourself in a state of being. The Bible says that he's married to the back. He has the covenant with the backside. So wherever he might be, he's waiting on this. We extend this invitation. Come to know him. Not to know us, but to know him. Because it is in him that we live, we move, and we have our very being. Let him be the guide to your soul. Let him be the God of your salvation today. Will there be one? The doors of the church are never closed. They are always open. and there's always room for one to come.
Amen. Thank you, Pastor. Amen.
Amen.
As we come to a close, are there any comments, any final comments we would like to share from this Rhema word that you heard this evening? Mic's open. Any other comments? Do you have a comment for the pastor, anything that you that the word has spoken to your spirit? The mic's are open. Amen. Amen. We do thank each and every one of you for coming on and being a part of this hour. There's nothing greater than coming together to feed on the Word of God. And when we feed on the Word of God, we become stronger. Aren't we supposed to be united? Not divided, but aren't we supposed to be united? And that is the blessing when we come together and be united. And, you know, it does not have to be just on this blog or on this. God is a God who is global. He's omnipresent. He's omniscient. God can be anywhere and everywhere. That's the beauty of it. That's the God that we serve. So whenever we come together, as long as he is in the midst, you can expect things to begin in your life. Whatever you may be going through, you can expect things to begin to happen when you are under the Word of God. And that's just how much he loves you, and that's how much he loves my life. I think we cannot do anything on our own, Pastor. That is just what you said. We cannot do anything on our own. But one of the things I do like, you know, that you said, that is we have to receive the Word ourselves before we can share it with others. We have to receive it ourselves before we can share it with others. Because if you have not received the word from the Lord, then you're just talking. I call it painted pictures, pretty words and painted pictures. Pretty words and painted pictures. It just sounds good, but there is no substance. There is no substance. You know, people here, they may shout, you know, and jump up and down just from the word, but there is no substance. You know, there's no spirit. So, you know, when there's an anointing in the house, I guarantee you, you'll know it. You'll know it. You'll know it. I usually say that, you know, this is how the Holy Spirit is. You can just be driving by yourself in your car, and all of a sudden you just filled with tears. Filled with tears of joy. No one is in the car but you. But because we began to start to think of the goodness and the glory of God and what he's done and how far he's brought us, and what he's going to do, all we can do is just shed tears of joy. So that's the beauty of it. Again, we do thank you. Dr. Suzanne, do you have any closing comments?
No. He looks like he got something to say.
Pastor Miles? Amen. Yeah, praise God. Praise God. Once again, we do thank you for coming. We don't take you for granted. We don't take this for granted. You know, we are serious about the business of the Lord. And so when we come, even if we just have three, you know what? I'm excited. Because the word says that where there's two or three, that God is in the midst. So even if it's just three, I don't get excited for large numbers. I get excited when someone comes and they receive a word from the Lord. That's just what I get excited about. So we do thank you for being on the line, those of you that we see on the Blog Talk Radio, those of you who are on Zoom that we see and that we don't see, we thank you from the bottom of our heart. So as we come to a close, remember we love you, but God loves you most. Please keep in mind that we're going to be doing a new thing. We're going to be doing Zoom, and we're going to be moving in another direction. So as you begin to start to see changes, that's what's coming. So just be expecting changes to be established. And we just pray that as we move forward and the changes come forth, that we are in line with what God wants us to do. We don't want to do anything on our own. We want to make sure that we're aligned with what God wants us to do at New Beginnings. So, again, thank you, thank you, thank you. Again, remember, we love you, but God loves you most.
Amen.
Amen. The Holy Spirit was this.
Did you turn the blog on?